It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation. Thank you for listening. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We were made for this time. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. So appreciate getting to work with all of you. Check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. All the recaps and podcasts of the show can be found there. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there. It is so important in this cancel culture, censorship culture, that we speak truth, that we look for clarity with discernment on these issues. As you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And be sure and check out America's Veteran Stories this Sunday on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7 FM. It's Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m., and we're doing this series of Echoes of Our War regarding Vietnam Marine veterans, and our guests are Paula Sarles, Grady Birdsong, and Bob Avril this week, so be sure and check that out. Today is the anniversary of the end of the Battle of Iwo Jima. And the battle started, they thought it was just going to be a few days, and it actually started on February 19th, and it went through March 26th. And I've had the great honor to interview some of the guys that were there at the Battle of Iwo Jima. And so I decided that we would go with the quotes by Admiral Nimitz. Chester William Nimitz Sr. was a fleet admiral of the United States Navy, and he played a major role in the naval history of World War II as the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet and commander-in-chief of the Pacific Ocean Areas, commanding Allied air, land, and sea forces during World War II. He was born in 1885. He died in 1966. And this is what he said. The Battle of Iwo Island has been won. The United States Marines, by their individual and collective courage, have conquered a base which is as necessary to us in our continuing forward movement toward final victory as it was vital to the enemy in staving off ultimate defeat. And in this first segment here, in just a few minutes, we are going to hear from Keith McKim. He is a Vietnam veteran. He was a SOG man, which is Studies and Observations Group, which was top secret, but he's a storyteller, and he has put together a story of the men that raised the American flag, the U.S. flag, Mount Suribachi, during the Battle of Iwo Jima. So that's going to be here in just a couple of minutes. But I do want to go through. We are noting different bills of the day, things that are happening down at the State House. And of course, this radical activist, regressive Democrat controlled both House and Senate and governorship here in Colorado is pulling out all stops on what they are trying to pass down there. But this is a bill which is unbelievable that we really need to even talk about this. It's being sponsored by Representatives Geithner and Bradfield and Senator Lundeen. And it is House Bill 21-1059. And basically, it's concerning online instruction. And it's standing up for parental rights. The bill summary says that if a school district, a board of cooperative services, or charter school provides educational programming via online instruction to a student, the online student, the bill prohibits the local education provider from, one, It prohibits them from prohibiting the online student's parent from being present while the student is participating in online instruction. My friends, we do want to know what our kids are learning. It also prohibits recording the online student without prior written approval from the student's parent. Again, that seems like that makes sense. This is a parental right. It prohibits imposing requirements concerning the online student's physical environment, except to directly assist the student in focusing on instruction. It prohibits suspending or expelling an online student based on an item observed in the student's physical environment or the student's behavior while participating in online instruction unless the behavior constitutes repeated interference with the local education provider's ability to online instruction to other students. The bill specifies that the limitation on suspending or expelling an online student applies to suspension and expulsions after March 23rd, and it specifies that the premises, facilities, and buildings of an educational institution do not include the private residence of an online student for purposes of the crime of interference with staff, faculty, or students of educational institutions. And it is sad that we are at a time where we, in fact, have to propose this legislation. I hope that it passes. We will find out. And before we get to Keith McKim, this show is brought to you by a number of great partners, and one of those great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations here in the metro area, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Colorado Springs, Lone Tree, and Aurora. And we've taken for granted before this whole COVID-19 China Wuhan virus reaction disruption, we've taken it for granted to get together with friends. Let's don't do that anymore. So there's all kinds of specials at Hooters Restaurants. You can go to my website, kimmunson.com. For more information on that, just click on the sponsors tab. You'll see all my great sponsors there. And of course, on the Hooters tab there as well, and you'll get all of those specials. And we're going to go to Keith McKim now regarding his story of each of the guys who helped raise the flag at the Battle of Iwo Jima on Mount Suribachi.
I've entitled this story, 6 × 2 = 13. Have you ever been to visit the Iwo Jima Memorial in Washington, D.C.? It's the largest bronze statue in the world. It depicts a photograph taken by photographer Joe Rosenthal on the fourth day of the battle. It shows 6 Marines raising the American flag at the top of Mount Suribachi, the highest point on the island of Iwo Jima, Japan, the first Japanese homeland territory that Americans occupied during World War II. 6 boys raised that flag. The oldest was 24, the youngest 18. The guy at the bottom of the pole is Harlan Block, Texas All-State football player. Within a week after the picture was taken, Harlan died, crying, staring at his guts, held in his hands. War is not pretty. It's not a game. Harlan was 21 years old. War is not glorious, but it is necessary. Like everything else, war can be used for evil. All war is ugly, but not all war is bad. Your freedom was and is paid for in blood, the blood of young men. The next guy on the statue is Rene Gagnon, a New Hampshire boy. Rene was in love with his high school sweetheart and carried her picture as a good luck charm in the webbing inside of his helmet. Rene was 18, the youngest of the flag raisers. He died in 1979, a bitter man, an alcoholic at age 54. I like this next guy, Sergeant Mike Stank. He was the old man. War ages you fast, and at 24, Mike was the leader and the hero of all the others. Mike was smart, and he trained his boys well. He wasn't a braggart. He didn't tell them they were there to kill Japs or encourage them to die for their country. He said, "Do what I say, and I'll get you home," and they believed him. Mike didn't come home himself. He died after the flag raising, leading his men in combat. He was killed by friendly fire from a naval ship, the first of the flag raisers to die. He was a naturalized American from Czechoslovakia. You may have heard of this next guy, Ira Hayes, songs and stories are written about him. From the dry lands of Arizona, a poorly educated Pima Indian who walked off Iwo Jima and into the White House at age 22, carrying the images of war in his mind. When told that he was a hero, he said, "I went ashore with 250 men. 27 of us walked off Iwo." Ira had bad dreams and waking nightmares. He died 10 years after the picture was taken, drowned in an irrigation ditch, face down in shallow water, dead drunk. As you walk around the statue, you will see a hillbilly, Franklin Sousley from Hilltop, Kentucky. A friend tells the story of the time when they took two cows and put them on the porch of the Hilltop General Store. They fed them Epsom salts and left them. There was a mess in the morning, and it stunk. Neighbors tell another story of the barefoot boy who took the telegram to his mother, the telegram saying that her 19-year-old son had died on Iwo. A fun-loving hillbilly boy so far from home, shot in the back by a Japanese sniper. The neighbors say that they could hear her screaming and crying all night long from half a mile away. His mom never had the money or means to go and visit, but the neighbors say that for days, God could hear her screams in heaven. So many died on Iwo Jima. They had no embalming facilities or means of bringing them home. The Marines buried them there, 6,812 of them. The next guy on the statue was born in Antigua, Wisconsin, John Bradley, a Navy medic assigned to the Marines. He holds the Navy Cross Medal, the second highest medal for valor in the United States Navy. His family never knew of it until after his death, when they discovered it in a trunk in the basement of their home. He died in 1994. He is the father of the man who wrote the book, Flags of Our Fathers, a story well worth reading about the Battle of Iwo Jima and these boy men who raised the flag. His son tells a story of important people calling to try to interview him. All the kids in the family were instructed to tell the caller, "No, I'm sorry, sir, my dad's not here." "He's in Canada fishing." "No, there's no phone there, sir." "No, we don't know when he's coming back." On Iwo, he was a different man, a medic. He held hundreds of wounded and dying boys. Unlike today, they had no medication to help with the pain, so these Marines died writhing and screaming for God's mercy. His was the last face that many of them saw, and he carried that burden the rest of his life. These flag raisers were not heroes, and they knew that. They raised a flag that symbolizes for us the freedoms fought for and won. They knew that the heroes all were buried on Iwo Jima. God created this world for us to live in, freely. Freedom is what the human heart yearns for. That's why young men fight and die for freedom, your freedom, so that tyrants, dictators, and despots can't enslave us. From the beginning of this nation till today, young men, not old ones, fight and die for us. One final thing. When you count the hands raising the flag, you will count 13 hands. When asked why, the artist said simply, "The 13th hand belongs to God." In the 36-day battle, the Marines had 19,217 casualties on Iwo Jima. 6,812 were killed. Three of the flag raisers were among the dead. Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz said about the battle, "Uncommon valor was a common virtue that day." Oh, by the way, there were 27 medals of honor awarded for the Battle of Iwo Jima, the most for any battle before or since. We live in a nation built by warriors, not lawyers or politicians or accountants or bureaucrats or presidents, and we are ruled from the bottom up, not the opposite. The sacred rights of mankind are granted by God, not by man or government. These rights are written on the souls of men and can never be erased by government. And finally, we are a Judeo-Christian nation, despite what communists, socialists, or Democrats might say. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Wow, my friends, that was so powerful. Keith McKim and his recording of the different guys, each of the guys that helped raise the flag on Mount Suribachi at Iwo Jima. And you can actually go to Amazon.com and put in Keith McKim, and you can get the MP3 recordings of each of the stories that he has put together. I'd highly recommend that. So again, go to Amazon.com and put in Keith McKim and the story that he shared with us regarding the Battle of Iwo Jima. Powerful. My friends, we'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. It is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our voice out there, this independent voice. We're looking for truth and clarity and discernment in all of these important issues that are going on. On the line with me is Casper Stockham, and he is a candidate for state GOP chair here in Colorado. Casper Stockham, welcome to the show.
Yes, Kim, it's good to be with you again.
Well, and the election is tomorrow, Saturday, a big election. It will be the Central Committee of the Republican Party, the state Republican Party. Why are you the guy who should be leading the Republican Party moving forward? Why should people vote for you?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. And I'm the guy because I'm the game changer in this race. I've been out here fighting this fight for over 8 years, trying to get the party moved in the right direction, pulling and pushing and prodding and poking and, you know, all the acronyms, trying to get our base broadened, trying to get people trained, trying to get more of an influence in the Black and Hispanic community. And, you know, had some successes. You know, we've done a lot of MLK marches together and Cinco de Mayo's and Juneteenth, but people don't realize that's just like the, you know, that's a starting point. That's not the end point. You know, we can't change hearts and minds once a year going to we have to roll up our sleeves and partner up with community leaders and start solving problems. And that's what we're not doing as Republicans. In fact, we're not doing much of anything. That's why people are leaving the party in droves. So we have to change the game. We have to have a game changer to do that. And I am the person that can lead that charge.
Casper, there's a couple of things that are on my heart. And the first is getting Republicans elected who believe in the Republican form of government, which is what we are. We are a constitutional republic, but also who believe in limited government and the vision of the Declaration that all men are created equal by God with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I have to tell you, I'm very frustrated when we spend time, money, and energy to elect Republicans that don't adhere to those principles. What could you do about that?
Well, I'm actually doing something about it right now. And what I'm doing is I'm duplicating what the Democrats do on the other side. So they have a list of things they want to see in their elected officials. So instead of them hoping that it happens by chance, they actually train up a whole group of socialists and Marxists and everything else to run for office all the way across the board, from school board all the way to federal office. We don't really have anything like that. We have training for sure, like LPR and some others, but those organizations don't do the back end work, which is supporting candidates as they run for office. At America First Republicans, which is an organization I co-founded, we are doing that. We are training up individuals on the Constitution, on the Republican Party platform, on America First ideas, and then we are supporting them in their run for office. And it doesn't matter what office they're running for, you know, we will support them at the end, as long as they sign our little quick pledge saying that they'll do exactly what we just trained them to do. And, you know, we'll support them and help them fundraise as well. So we're actually doing that right now.
Well, and what I have found is that we have not supported candidates in city council and school boards that have stepped forward. And we really have given, and when I say we, I'm talking about conservatives. And the word conserve, yeah, it typically has been a good word, conserve water, conserve energy, conserve right, the environment. But for some reason, conservatives, the narrative has been one of, I think the implication is people that want to control your life. Well, you know what? The veil is off. The mask is off. Look at who really wants to control your life. It is the radical, progressive, activist, regressives, I should say, that have taken over the Democrat Party. This Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK, Harry Truman. It's no longer that party. In fact, they would be laughed out of this Democrat Party. And I think that to conserve this beautiful idea of America is really, I think, our calling. Now, one other thing I want to ask you about, Casper Stockham, is election integrity. With what we have seen during this last election cycle, once again, it has been unveiled, unmasked, that I think that we have had challenges regarding election integrity for many, many years. And if we can't get our elections right, if we can't get them to be free and fair, we've got a big problem. And any politician, bureaucrat, or interested parties that, and I call them PBIs, that are not agreeing that we want free and fair elections, we can actually see there's a big problem. So what are you going to do about election integrity?
Well, I'm going to force the entities involved, the Secretary of State and others, to provide transparency. So if there is a question or a concern, then we need to be able to verify it. You know, trust but verify. And if they are blocking us from verifying it, that does not mean transparency. That means they're hiding something. So I'll be forcing those entities for transparency. I will also be forcing the free market solution for voting machines around our state. We should not have one system or one company or one entity that is controlling 60 out of 64 counties in our state. That is called a monopoly, and we have laws against that. We should be enforcing those laws, if you will, on our voting process and have two or three choices that the Secretary of State blesses as far as voting systems, and then allow the county clerks and recorders to choose from those systems without any penalty. See, right now, a county clerk and recorder, if they choose a different system, they have to pay for it themselves. And so the Secretary of State uses the influence of money to force them into one machine, and that is outrageous. I had a buddy of mine. I told him I was conservative one time, and he's a Democrat, liberal. And he said, "Why would you call yourself conservative?" And I said, "Because that word doesn't mean the same thing to me as it means to you. You know, I like the word, and he sees it as a racist word, so he's confused because a black man is calling himself conservative. So, you know, we've got a lot of education to do out there."
And do you think that we can move Colorado back to you know, conserving these amazing principles? Colorado was built on the rugged individual spirit of really America. What's your thoughts? Can we get it back?
Well, I definitely believe we can get it back, but we're not going to get it back doing the same thing we've been doing for the past 8 years that I've been involved, and I've heard it's been going on for even longer than that. We're not changing the way we're doing business, and we're not, our messaging is off. You know, we don't have a plan. We're not united. You know, I was able to bring the president of the NAACP in Aurora to a Tea Party meeting back when Jeff Hayes was the chairman of the party. He happened to be speaking at the Tea Party meeting. It was the first time that he had been to a Tea Party meeting himself. And at that same meeting, I brought the president of the NAACP to the Tea Party meeting. And he was calling them racist before he got there. And after he left, he realized that that was not true. So we have to do more things like that. And I'm the only one that knows how to connect the low-hanging fruit so we start winning again in Colorado.
Casper Stockham, how can people get more information about you?
They can go to casper4colorado.com. That's my campaign website. We're excited about tomorrow. I think there's going to be some game-changing things happening tomorrow. There's going to be prayer in the morning. There's going to be folks there all throughout the day. It's just going to be a great event. So even if you aren't able to get into the area where we're voting, you can still come down to the hotel. And there's a candidate table area that people can kind of hang out at. And then as we go on stage, we'd love for people to come and support us in this race for state chairman.
And what is that location for the meeting tomorrow?
It's the Denver Marriott in the DTC. It's 4900 Syracuse Street, I believe is the address. 4900 Syracuse Street, the Denver Marriott DTC.
And what time are you recommending that people show up?
So the sign-in start at 9 a.m. Probably won't have any major activity happening until 10. But if they got there between 9 and 10, that should be good.
Okay. Casper Stockham, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it.
And Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. A lot is happening in Colorado right now. And also, March 26th is the anniversary of the end of the World War II battle, Iwo Jima. It's a very special day. And earlier in the show, we had Keith McKim, and he has all these great MP3s at Amazon.com. Told the story of each of the guys that was helping raise that flag on Mount Suribachi. And Jason, I know that you really appreciate these guys just like I do.
I do, and boy, that's still one of the most iconic historical images that I've ever seen, and I hope that it doesn't get somehow edited or erased from our history at some point.
Oh my gosh! I hadn't even thought of that one for sure. So,
Jason, bring you down.
Yeah, no, we have to protect that. I mean, here were these were real guys that were raising the flag under, you know, in a battle. And at least our battle is we want to make sure that we preserve our monuments and our statues and our sculpts and sculptures. Jason McBride, before we get into the weekend, we are looking at these markets, and they are high. And you never know for sure if they're going to go higher, if they're going to go lower. But that doesn't mean that people shouldn't sit down, assess their risk. I think it's what you feel in your tummy. If you think the market is going to go down 20%, 30%, how does that make you feel? And if you have a knot in your tummy, perhaps you might want to meet with you and make some changes.
Well, possibly, Kim. And keep in mind, you know, we talk about your personal economy. Well, you know, a lot of people's investments don't just mirror the market. For example, the NASDAQ right now sits about 9% off of its all-time high. But, Kim, you know, some of the high-flying stocks are down much more than that. Apple's down 17%. Tesla's down almost 30. Zoom Video is down, cut almost in half off of its all-time high. So it's good to watch the markets to get a feel for what's going on. But the most effective thing is to be watching your own investments to see how they're performing and make your decisions based on that.
You think? I think that makes a lot of sense, Jason McBride. How can and they need a professional to help them with that, and you're the guy. How can people reach you?
Well, the best way is give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. We'd love for folks to come in and see us and see what we can do to help them.
Okay, Jason McBride, thank you so much. You have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thanks so much. And we will be right back with another one of my great sponsors. That is Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool. And we'll be talking about small to mid-sized businesses, what's going on with that here in Colorado. So stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can find out about all of our most recent podcasts and op-eds and upcoming guests. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing. It is in this day and age with cancel culture and censorship, it is important to keep our independent voice out there as we look at these issues as freedom versus force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And we look for truth and clarity and discernment in each and every one of these issues. And another way that we are on the air is because I have really great sponsors and partners. And one of those great partners is Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. It's a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal, welcome to the show.
Kim, thank you very much. It's good to be here, and we really appreciate and enjoy supporting everything that you do.
Well, and you sponsor both the Kim Munson Show as well as America's Veteran Stories. But today, March 26th, is a very special day. This is the anniversary of the end of the Battle of Iwo Jima. It was only supposed to be a few days, but it actually, I think it was about 37, if I remember right. But it was more than a few days for sure. And in 1945, the Battle of Iwo Jima was finally won. And we had done this, had Keith McKim on earlier talking about each of the guys that was helping raise the flag at Iwo Jima. And Hal Van Herke, you are a veteran, and so this is really near and dear to your heart, yes?
Yeah, very much so. The raising of the flag at Iwo Jima, and my father was in World War II. He fought in the Pacific in the Army Air Corps. He flew a number of battles in the Pacific. And so it's always been something that was very, you know, I was interested in and near and dear and important to our family. And the raising of the flag on Iwo Jima obviously has become an iconic symbol of the Pacific Theater War and World War II overall, inspiration for, you know, some of our greatest memorials and things like that. So it's a very big deal. And people today don't really realize why it was such a big deal, but I mean, the amount of sacrifice that our Marines had to take in order to secure Iwo Jima was, you know, heroic and at great cost. And I think we lost something like, at least injured and lost something like 21,000 soldiers just on that small island. So it was a major battle. It had a major impact back in the time. My father never forgot it. I never forgot it. It was a fascinating time. But today I don't know if a lot of people remember it or think about it that much, and they might be curious about what the big deal is. So, you know, there are a couple of, I personally am a movie nut. There are a couple of great movies you can go out and check out that really tell a good story about Iwo Jima from the standpoint of the U.S. Obviously, there's a really old one called The Sands of Iwo Jima, which is was in 1942, which was starring John Wayne, so it has all the swagger and American, gung-ho American style that you can imagine for a John Wayne movie.
Then there was year was that? Was that 62? When was that?
That was filmed in 1949, so not long after.
1949, okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, and then probably the one you're thinking of is a 1961 movie called The Outsider with Tony Curtis, which is a lot grittier one. And follows the story of one of the flag raisers through the whole thing. But the ones I like the best were more recently done by Clint Eastwood, which is, first, there's two movies. The first is Flags of Our Fathers, and the second is Letters from Iwo Jima. And the first one, Flags of Our Fathers, tracks the U.S. story of the battle, and the second one tracks the letters from Iwo Jima. It tracks the Japanese side of the battle. So you get to watch one first and then the other second and see what they were going through side by side. And I particularly found the letters from Iwo Jima, which is the Japanese version, very compelling and interesting as a movie. Every Japanese soldier on that island knew they were on a suicide mission and they were never going home.
Which that makes a very formidable adversary when they're in that particular situation. And Hal, I've had the great honor to interview six different Marines that fought at Iwo Jima in our America's Veterans Stories show. And again, you're a sponsor of that as well. And it is so important that we get these stories, that people learn about our history. People seem to be so interested in their own individual ancestry, but yet we are not seem to be interested in our ancestors. Our history of our country. And so I really appreciate your partnership on that as well. But let's talk about Castlegate Knife and Tool and what is going on there, because as a veteran, you really appreciate our veterans, our military personnel, and our first responders. And they all get a discount all day, every day at Castlegate Knife and Tool, correct?
That's right. So if you're a veteran or current active duty service or guard or reserve in the military, or first responder, including fire, police, paramedic, et cetera, then you get a 10% discount off of everything we sell every day. If you want to take advantage of that in the store, all you have to do is come in, show us your ID, and we'll take care of it. If you want to do it over the website, you need to contact us. We give you a code that's good for a week, and you can use that code to purchase whatever you want and get your hero discount.
I love that, a hero discount. And again, that's Castlegate.com. Castlegate.com is the website, and all kinds of information there. Hal, you are a small business owner here in Colorado, and it seems like there is just an assault on small to mid-sized businesses. We saw what happened with the Wuhan China virus COVID-19 reaction disruption, where big box stores, big businesses were considered quote unquote essential, and our mom and pop businesses were not. And then we are seeing down at the state legislature pieces of legislation that it looks like these legislators down at the House and the Senate and the governor's office think that small business and mid-sized business owners have this big pot of gold. And it seems like they're really trying to get at what they perceive as that big pot of gold. And it's really hurting our businesses. What are you seeing, Hal?
Yeah, I think I've even mentioned it on your show several times in the past. I think that this duality of treating the large stores as essential and treating small business as a pariah was not just an accident. I think it was by design in a lot of these Democratic-controlled states. There's a big push to have a transfer of wealth, not only you know from the U.S. to overseas, and as part of the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum's agenda for that. That is, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory. They're very public about it. The slogan for the Great Reset is Build Back Better, which is, happens to be Joe Biden's slogan that he adopted directly from that. So his administration has completely bought into it. And one of the ways you do that is by eliminating wealth out of small business in one country and lifting it up either through taxation or carbon and tax credits, or you know, a lot of what the Paris Climate Accord was designed to do is to shift wealth to other countries. But you also do it by building large global corporations that that act globally and are operating in a lot of these other, you know, third world countries. And by doing that, you really limit the number of people you have to work with if you're a large government organization trying to enact this Great Reset, because you have, you're creating a handful of very large, very beholden to you, very controllable and compliant businesses in these large global entities. Much easier for them to order them what to do and expect and demand compliance than it is to rein in tens of thousands of small business owners. So I believe absolutely that it, in many cases, it was on purpose. And it was the biggest shift, government-forced shift of wealth in our lifetimes. And so I think it was a direct assault on small business. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, I happen to agree with you on that opinion. And first of all, you mentioned something that a number of people say, oh, that is just a conspiracy theory. But I've realized if you go to the World Economic Forum, their vision for 2030, they state that. That is exactly what they state, that they want to take down Western values. And Western values is really the thing that has created these entrepreneurs. But yeah. To your point,
I mean, everything I just said is directly from the World Economic Forum's website and their speeches and their papers. Yeah, it's their own work.
Their own words. And so we saw the veil came off with this COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. And to your point, it is more difficult for quote unquote globalist elites to control thousands and thousands of entrepreneurs. But if you, and even Lincoln back during the Civil War, he was quoted as being concerned about the power of corporations. So let's think about it. If instead of a lot of entrepreneurs out there, you have big corporations who then have, and I'm calling it now the transgender racism industrial complexes. And if you don't adhere to those, then you might lose your job. You might lose your livelihood. And that scares people. And that is why I think there has been this assault on everyday small businesses. And we see that down at the State House with legislation after legislation. They just recently introduced the public health option. And whenever you get government involved in something, typically the price goes up, the quality goes down, and access becomes limited. And that is what you're going to see. They have it with all kinds of flowery language, but it's going to be very expensive for small to mid-sized businesses, and the results are not going to be very good for everyday hardworking people, Hal.
That's right. And there's so many dynamics to this. Small business owners, by and large, tend to be more conservative than the average general public because they've learned how difficult it is to work with the government and just how damaging the government can be even when they're trying to help, let alone when they're trying to damage you. And so, it just helps discourage more conservatives from starting businesses, from building wealth and building the ability to fight back and have the free time and have the money to donate and to fight your causes. It just puts more power into the central planners. But some of the things as a small business owner, you have to be vocal. You have to be vigilant. You have to be paying attention to what's going on at the State House. And then something I just read the other day that, reminded me is that you just have to stay very informed. You can't be so focused on your business and your business survival that you don't pay attention to the world around you. And this is two examples. The first example being what's going on at the State House right now, and bill after bill after bill that has an impact on your small business, and you need to know what that is, both in terms of being able to go and lobby for or against the ones you believe in, because small business owners are not one single monolith. They have different opinions. But then at the same time, you have to be prepared to adapt your business to whatever is coming your way. So if they pass a lot of these times, and some of these bills right now, they're not having a, if it falls to everybody, no matter how many employees you have. But in a lot of these cases, the bills will have an employee limit. You have to be aware of that employee limit to make sure that you can manage around that. And if you're going to go over that employee limit, you go over that employee limit with gusto so that you can grow enough to afford the additional overhead you're going to have for insurance or for whatever requirements that the government has now placed on those mid-sized businesses. So being informed as a small business owner is critical. And it's the same thing as you're coming out of COVID right now in Colorado. Things are changing. We did get recently got a statewide reduction in the lockdown. And so now you have to be very close to looking at the counties that your businesses operate in and what color code they're in on the spectrum. If you're in a yellow county, you have a certain amount of additional freedom to operate your business that you didn't have a few days ago. But if you're in a blue county that has fewer cases right now, you have even more freedoms. And it's critical that you know that so that you can get a jump on your local competitors and get your restaurant resituated to handle increased capacity, et cetera. And communicate via social media to your customers the new opportunities you have and really be vocal on social media. Create that community of loyal customer base that you need to keep your business going. But, you know, explain these changes to them in terms of new opportunities, new events, new, you know, things that they can participate with your business and get a jump on some of the others that may not be on top of it as much as you are. So really keeping an eye out on the government and keeping an eye on the world around you has never been more important in my lifetime than it is right now if you want to keep your business stable and keep it afloat and prospering.
Spoken like a true entrepreneur, and that's Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. We are going to go to break. We'll continue our conversation with Hal Van Herke when we come back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there now more than ever in cancel culture and this censorship. It's important that our voices look for truth and clarity and discernment. And as you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. It should be able to pass the test in the battle of ideas. On the line with me is entrepreneur and owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, Hal Van Herke. And you just had given some great advice to our small to mid-sized businesses as we went into break. In this last segment, first of all, I'd like you to, again, give us the names of those movies regarding the Battle of Iwo Jima, because it is so important that we know our history. So what are those movies that you are recommending?
Yeah, one of them was Sands of Iwo Jima, which was with John Wayne. It was filmed in 1945, so when a lot of, or 1949, when a lot of this was still fresh in people's mind. And that's a good old-fashioned American bravado one. A really gritty one from 1961 was The Outsider, which was starred Tony Curtis. But my favorite ones were two that were directed by Clint Eastwood. The first one is Flags of Our Fathers, that shows the Battle of Iwo Jima from the Americans' point of view and their communications with their chain of command and their families back home and what the battle and the losses and the struggle meant to them. And then there's the sequel to that is Letters from Iwo Jima, which covers the exact same events from the standpoint of the Japanese high command, the Japanese commanders and soldiers on the island and their families and their memories. And so it's especially those last two are fantastic. If you want to get a complete view of what happened at Iwo Jima, how critical the battle was, how much human sacrifice was voluntarily entered into by the participants in that and fought valiantly and on both sides, and why it's considered such a major, significant military battle to this day in the U.S., and why, you know, we see the monuments having the emotional impact and the flag raising have the emotional impact and symbolism that it does today.
Well, and we are talking about that because March 26, 1945 was the conclusion of the Battle of Iwo Jima. And it was a very hard fought battle for many, many days. And that's why we are honoring
honoring them to talk about that. Hal Van Herkey, we've got just one segment here. You are an entrepreneur. You're the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. Check out castlegate.com for more information. You've got, obviously, knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world, as well as these custom rifles. You're going to be starting a knife or a sharpening service, and also these great watches. But we've got probably about 5 minutes. And what we are seeing down at the State House with legislation after piece of legislation on top of it is it is very detrimental to small to mid-sized businesses here in Colorado. And it is important that people try to navigate through that. But unless we get this turned around, I see that this is going to, that we're going to lose some of our businesses here in Colorado. Hal, what's your thoughts?
It's hard to even address one. And right now, there's so many bills going on at the State House that have no concept of the impact on small business. You know, these bills are not written by people who've ever owned a business or ever knew anybody who owned a business. So, and they're just it's all over the map. And some of them are annoying, and some of them are going to be downright painful. And so I think it's critical to get involved as a small business owner. Every bill that gets introduced is published on the state's website. And there are, you know, all the political parties do a good job of posting the bills that they're interested in or concerned about. Frankly, one of the groups that does a really good job is the Libertarian Party. There's a guy by the name of Michael Stapleton whose full-time job is to do that, and he is very focused on small business. And so you can find him on social media or online, Michael Stapleton with the Colorado Libertarian Party. And he tracks bills and really highlights the ones that are have impact on small business. So that's, you know, something, but you can find it on your own. It should, if you need to contact, you know, it's still at a level where you can have an impact by contacting your local state representative directly, especially if you own a significant or high profile business in their jurisdiction and in their district. You have more influence with them than you might realize. And in some cases, it's just that they never even considered your point of view because they've never known anybody who owned a business. And so you actually have an opportunity to lobby and to get in there and get your voice heard a lot more than you would if it was federal government. And so I encourage you to do that, to know who you're, if you're a small business owner, you should know who your legislators are, both in the House and the Senate, and know them on a personal level. You know, I have all of mine on my cell phone. I have their cell phone number. I have all of my representatives, all my county commissioners, all of the local state mayors, I mean, the local town mayors. I know them all personally. And over the last, you know, 8 years, I've made sure that that's the case. And so if you want to have influence in your community, you need to get involved, get informed, and make sure that you're in a position to inform them when you need to.
Well, and that is why we do this show, Hal Van Herkey, is to help people get their brains around these different issues. We are bringing out each day a bill of the day to try to keep people informed. But as you mentioned, you can go to the Colorado State Legislature website and you can actually follow bills. And I would encourage people to take a little bit of time to understand that. It used to be, Hal, when America was founded, everyday people, they were carrying around the Constitution in their pocket, and they would talk about these principles of the American idea. And I think that we've gotten kind of fat and happy, if you will, and have not been paying attention to this onslaught to our American ideals and conserving those ideals that America was founded on, that all men are created equal by God with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. These principles are worth preserving. That's why the guys at Iwo Jima were fighting, was to preserve those principles, this American idea. And so we've got just a couple of minutes left. Hal, what's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
I'm going to pick up right where you left off. As a small business owner, I feel like I'm fighting the battle for freedom on a daily basis. That's the way I look at my business. The fact that we exist is continuing to promote freedom. It gives more freedom to myself, my family, our employees. It gives people a freedom of choice in the marketplace. and we take a lot of our profits and we reinvest them in things like your show, things like the National Honor Tour and other projects and veterans projects and stuff that we donate to promote the idea of freedom. If you come into our store, you'll see that there's a lot of patriotic decor in there and things. So, I mean, we are literally designed to be a small little economic engine of freedom to educate people on, you know, the value of small business, the value of individual freedom, individual choice. And that's why we are so engaged in the political sphere and in the nonprofit sphere to help promote traditional American values. And I feel like we still are fighting that war on a daily basis. Our lives aren't on the line, but our livelihoods are on the line. And I encourage everybody to support small business, to get to know your local small businesses, buy from them, learn what they do, learn how you can help them. There's so many ways you can help that don't cost you a penny by spreading the good word about what your favorite businesses are. And it's fun to get engaged. I'd much rather be at a party with a group of small business owners than at a party with a group of government bureaucrats. It's fun to get involved.
And that's Hal Van Herke, the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, great partner of both The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Hal, thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Admiral Nimitz. He said, by their victory, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Marine Divisions and other units of the 5th Amphibious Corps had made an accounting to their country, which only history will be able to value fully. Among the Americans who served on Iwo Island, uncommon valor was a common virtue. My friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.